Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful singing tonight. I don't know. I don't know if it was the nap or if it's the Spirit of the Lord. I think it's the Spirit of the Lord. And God's meeting with us tonight. I just love it when we just sense the presence of the Lord in our midst. And I hope you're encouraged already by singing wonderful hymns of praise to our great God and Savior. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39. Most of us realize that Joseph, of course, if you're familiar with the scriptures here, you're familiar with Genesis chapter 39. It's a story about Joseph. And Joseph had a very challenging upbringing. He came from a dysfunctional, we might say, dysfunctional family. Had four moms in his life. His dad favored him. I think we're getting some rain out there. And it's all good. All we, you know, if we lose the power, we'll just keep on going. We have some emergency lights here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got a bunch of them. Anyone behind me? Oh, great. One behind me. I can see my notes. So it'd be a good thing. All right. In any event, he had some challenges, Joseph did, in his life. And sometimes we have a tendency to equate the good in life with the blessings of God. And the challenge is with the judgment of God. We might ask ourselves sometimes, why is this happening? And what's God doing? And where is God in the midst? I find it interesting that the Lord uses a phrase three times in Genesis 39. One time the same phrase in Acts chapter number 7 with regards to Joseph. Again, Joseph is in the midst of a very difficult, challenging upbringing, you might say. The beginning part of his life. He faced a lot of challenges. And yet God tells us in the midst of the challenges, look at verse number 2. God says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Verse number 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You see, sometimes when things aren't going as good as we like them to go, he had challenges in his family. He had challenges with his relationships with his brothers. His brothers, and we'll see this in just a little bit, his brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. He gets there, and you know the story, he gets framed. And I mean, interesting, a lot of challenges. But God reminds us through the challenges of Joseph's life, the Lord was with Joseph. He finds himself in prison. Look at verse number 23. Look at verse number 23. The Bible says in the latter part of the verse, well, let's just read the whole verse. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. If you hold your place in Genesis 39, we'll come back here in just a minute and look at Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. We read here a commentary concerning Joseph's life. And you could guess what we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. And the Bible says, and the patriarchs, obviously Joseph's brothers, they moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. In the midst of, you can go back to Genesis 39 now. In the midst of Joseph's challenges, in the midst of the difficulties in his life, God reminds us over and over again that the Lord was with Joseph. Why does God keep telling us this? You know, when God repeats something, it's important. He wants us to get it. And there's a number of reasons why, and I'm sure you could think of a number of reasons why God continues to remind us that in the midst of the trials, the Lord was with Joseph. But I want to give you four suggestions here tonight, all right? Number one, I want to suggest that the reason why the Lord reminds us over and over again that He was with Joseph is God wants us to know that He can bless wherever. God can bless wherever. Look at verse 1 of Genesis 39. Genesis 39, the Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. It's interesting when the Bible refers to Egypt, down to Egypt. You know, Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of the world, and we think about it as we look at Joseph here. Joseph was a God-fearing man. Joseph knew the Lord. Joseph, you go back a few chapters, and we'll see that's when Joseph had the dream. Here he finds himself now in Egypt. The Bible doesn't tell us that there were others. Maybe there was. But Joseph is in Egypt as a believer. He's in Egypt as a one that fears God in a pagan land. We might say that Joseph was outnumbered. We might say that those that were serving God and those that weren't, from what we can tell in the text, he was outnumbered. We might find that in this situation, we might find ourselves humanly thinking, well, God can't work there. Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed in the world in which we live, can't we? We find ourselves here in Chester Springs, and we find ourselves around in the community, maybe in your neighborhood where you live, and maybe wherever you might shop or whatever, and it just seems like there's a lot of people that are unsaved in the world in which we live in. And sometimes we can find ourselves hunkering down and holding on till Jesus comes, which isn't what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be sharing the good news. But you know what? It's important for us, regardless of where we find ourselves, to remember that God can bless wherever. You talk to people and sometimes they say, well, where our church is a tough area. And it's just a hard area. You know, everywhere is a hard area. I don't think the challenges that Joseph faced were easy. I think for Joseph, obviously, humanly, they were probably overwhelming. But he finds himself in Egypt. Now carry this same thought of God can work wherever a few verses down, and we know the story, and we'll come back to look at some of the story there, but look at verse number 23. Joseph finds himself in prison for obviously being framed by Potiphar's wife, and he finds himself in prison. Imagine the ridicule he must have faced. Imagine the challenge that this must have faced as the word spread that here Joseph, this guy that was this ruler, tried to hit on Potiphar's wife. Imagine all of that. Here he finds himself in prison. I'm sure word got maybe to the prison, to the prisoners there. But the Bible says this in verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. God can bless wherever. He's in Egypt, sold into slavery. He comes into Egypt, a challenging area, but God blesses. He finds himself in prison for doing nothing. But what does he find? He finds in prison the same blessing of the Lord. God can bless wherever. There's no place too hard for the Lord to work. You remember Jonah's call? Jonah, go to Nineveh, right? Jonah went the opposite. The scripture says there he went away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah had a prejudice, but Jonah knew God. Jonah knew that if he went to Nineveh, God might save this heathen people. And Jonah didn't want God to save this heathen people. Hey, he knew some things about God that sometimes we forget. But he goes to Nineveh eventually. When he goes to Nineveh, what does God do? God does a great work. Why? Because God can bless and work wherever. Number two, I want you to see this thought. God wants to bless. God would say, hey, the Lord was with Joseph, because he wants us to know he can bless wherever. But number two, God wants us to know that he can bless whatever. Whatever you find yourself doing, God can bless. Now go back to Genesis 39 and look at verse number 3. In verse number 3, we don't have too many details here, but the Bible says his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. We don't know exactly what his assignment was. But we do know that what his hands found him to do, he did it with all of his might, and God blessed. You know, I'm convinced that some of the blessed people in heaven, some of the people that are going to have these crowns in heaven, aren't going to necessarily be the public people, the preachers that we see. It's going to be some little widow lady that served God faithfully and did what she did with all of her might. You see, it doesn't matter the area, wherever we are. It doesn't matter whatever we do. We're supposed to do what God has called each of us as specific individuals to do. You know, God gives each of us, He made us all different. And God has a specific will for each of us. And God doesn't want you to do what someone else is supposed to do. I remember when I was in Wisconsin and I first moved there, there was another assistant there. And this guy was really good with computers and he was good with graphics and he could take things and go, I mean, he could do all kind of stuff with computers. And I remember thinking for just about maybe a minute or two, I need to learn everything I can because I need to be able to do stuff like that. And then I remember realizing, wait a minute, he can be him and I can be me. I have no desire to do stuff like that and I'm not good at stuff like that. And it takes him 5 minutes and it takes me 5 hours and I'm just going to be me and I'm going to let him be him and I'm going to do what God has called me to do and let him do what God has called him to do. And you need to be you. And you need to do what God has called you to do. You see, sometimes we think, well, God can only bless if I'm a preacher or I'm a missionary or I'm a... No. God can bless whatever we do so long as what we do is what God wants us to do. You see, God is a God that can work in whatever He has called us to do. Look at verse number Genesis 39 and verse number 9. Verse number 9, Joseph takes a stand. And we'll look at this verse in a minute. But I want to think just for a minute. Sometimes we're afraid to take a stand. Sometimes we're afraid to do what's right. Do you know when it comes to obeying the Lord, really it's we walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes we have to recognize that God calls us to take steps of faith and to obey Him. And God can bless when we do that. Joseph has to take a stand, and we'll look at this verse again as we close the message, but he says basically, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He's willing to take a stand for what is right. And very quickly, after he takes a stand and finds himself in prison, the Bible tells us in verse 21 that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. We need to recognize that God can bless in whatever I do so long as I'm doing what God wants me to do. Why do people have a hard time tithing? They have a hard time tithing because they have a hard time believing that God says what He means and means what He says, that God will bless. And we need to recognize that whatever God asks us to do, God is able to bless. And we need to do specifically what God has called us to do. All right, so we read here 4 times, 3 here and 1 in Acts. The Lord was with Joseph. Number one, He was with Joseph because we learn God can bless wherever. God can bless whatever. Let me give you a number 3, all right? God can bless whenever. God can bless whenever. Do you know God's timing is different than our timing? But when God is ready to make things happen, nothing's going to get in the way. When Joseph was 17, we read back in chapter number 37, we know the story, he had a dream, right? And God communicated to Joseph that Joseph was going to be in a position of authority. But wait a minute. Joseph now is in Egypt. Wait a minute, he's in Potiphar's house. Wait a minute, now he's in prison. It doesn't look like what God said is going to happen is going to happen. But you know what? God is always faithful. God is always faithful to fulfill what He has promised. His timing and His plan are perfect. Can you imagine Joseph when he starts interpreting the dream of the butler and the baker? Can you imagine? And he tells the one, hey, you're going to die. The other, you're going to be restored to your position. And then he says this, don't forget little old me. Don't forget me here in this prison, please. Don't forget me. And what happens? Well, you look at the end of chapter number 40. The Bible says this, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Verse 40, chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and it tells us Pharaoh's dream. So here he is in prison now for 2 more years because he was forgotten. But we don't see in Joseph bitterness. We don't see in Joseph impatience. We see in Joseph a man that is trusting God and trusting God's timing. You see, it's important for us to recognize that God can bless, God can work, God can intervene whenever He wants to. His timing is perfect. Remember the story in John chapter number 11? John 11. Jesus delays His coming. Lazarus is sick and He gets word that Lazarus is sick and He delays, and the disciples are a little confused, and Jesus says, hey, Lazarus is sleeping, and they're confused. Well, if he's sleeping, then that's a good thing. And He finally says, Lazarus is dead. When He shows up to town, Martha and Mary both have the same concern, right? What's the concern? They think, and matter of fact, let's just turn there real quick. John chapter number 11, if you want to turn there. They think that Jesus has a problem with His timing. Lord, if You had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. If You had just been here in time. And Jesus says in verse number 21, Martha, then said Martha unto the Lord Jesus, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus wants to do what? He wants to teach them a lesson with His perfect timing. He says, I am, verse 25, the resurrection and the life. In verse number 32, Jesus obviously wants to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so He says, Martha, where's Mary? Go get Mary. And so they go get Mary, and Mary comes out, and she has the same response. In verse 32, Mary, when she was come where Jesus was, saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And what did Jesus do? He wanted to teach them both. Not that He could just heal, but that He could raise the dead, and not just raise the dead, raise the dead of somebody that had been in that grave for some time. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, had Jesus come and healed Lazarus, they wouldn't have seen, nor would the crowd have seen, the great power of the Lord Jesus to say, Lazarus, come forth, and to see Him rise from the dead. His timing is perfect. And we often get impatient. Our society doesn't help us. Have it now, you know. Have it your way. Have it fast, you know, fast food. And boy, COVID has made, fast food. You got to drive through like the Chick-fil-A line and you got to wait in that line. Boy, they do everything they can to try to get it to you as quick as they possibly can. But we live in a society where everything is instant, you know, instant mashed potatoes and instant oatmeal and probably instant everything else, right? Instant gravy and instant lemonade and put the little mix in, instant coffee. I mean, you can have it all instant. But sometimes God's will is not instant. It's not right away. And Joseph's having to wait on the Lord to fulfill His promise. He's having to wait patiently for God to do what God had promised him. God can bless whenever. The Lord was with Joseph. I want you to see lastly, and we'll spend a few minutes here before we wrap this up. God can bless, and this to me is very encouraging. God can bless whoever. Amen. God can bless whoever. You look at the Word of God, and we see Bible characters, and we look at Joseph, and we look at Daniel, and we look at some of these guys, and say, man, were they blessed of the Lord. Man, were they used of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. God wants to show Himself strong on our behalf. God wants to meet every need in our lives. God wants to use us in a great way. God wants to use us to turn our world upside down for Jesus. You see, the issue isn't with God. The issue is with us. There are many reasons, I think, that God used Joseph. But I want to give you four reasons why I believe that God used Joseph. And I'm sure we could find many more than just that. But I want to give you four reasons, and they kind of center around Joseph's response in different situations. The first is found right here in our text in chapter 39 and verse number 9. Number one, I think God blessed and used Joseph because Joseph loved God. God was number one in his life. He says to Potiphar's wife, and again, I'm assuming many of us are familiar with the story, and so we're just pulling out some highlights. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph had a love for the Lord that surpassed his love for himself. Ah, this is great wickedness. And I don't want to do anything to grieve my God. I don't want to do anything to hurt the one that I love and that I serve. He loved God. You know, our biggest challenge in life is numero uno. As loving ourselves. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me," right? Paul said, "I die daily. I die to my flesh daily." Why? Because I love the Lord. As we looked at this morning, it's the love of Christ that constrained him. I'm convinced that if we love God as we ought, Jesus summed the commandments, didn't he? Lord, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You see, he summed all the commandments up in our love for God. That's what is our motivator. It's loving the Lord. You see, why do you do what you do? We ought to do what we do because we love God, not because someone's pressuring us to conform to a set of standards. No. I love God. And you want to give God the benefit of the doubt. You see, sometimes it's can I serve God and can I serve myself too? I was speaking to someone recently about just dress, and I'm not going to go into all this, but I asked this question. I said, when you pick out something to wear, what are the questions that come to mind? And this is probably true for many of us. The first question this individual said is, well, does it look nice? Okay. Does it feel comfortable? You know, do I, you know, look thin or muscular in this outfit? You know what I'm saying? For some of you, there's better not go there. But down on the list, you know, might be, well, it pleases the Lord. And you know, when we think about what we do, we ought to move to the top of the list. Because I think this is what will honor and glorify the Lord. You see, we want to be about my own comfort, my own convenience, my own. When there's nothing wrong with some of those things, so long as we're thinking about glorifying the Lord first. And giving God the benefit of the doubt. And being a Christian. And being an example of what God wants us to be as we read in the Word of God. Number two, look at Genesis 41. We're looking at God blessing and God's blessing on Joseph. Joseph loved God. Number two, Joseph glorified God. In Genesis 41 and verse number 16, Joseph, obviously, God enables Joseph to interpret this dream that Pharaoh has. But I want you to notice Joseph's reaction here in verse number 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, Joseph could have said, "Man, I was up last night and I had a vision and boy, am I great." But he doesn't say that. Joseph says this, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Slide down to verse 25. "God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Joseph was about glorifying God. Why was the hand of the Lord on Joseph? Because I believe Joseph tried to live in such a way, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you know, to some people, you are the only Bible they will ever read. Your life. they will watch you. They know you go to church. They'll look at you. They'll take note at what music you listen to. They'll take note at what you say, what comes out of your mouth, what you wear. You are it. And that's why the Bible tells us whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we need to give others the right opinion of God. What picture of God do other people get from you and I as they interact with us? Joseph said to Pharaoh, "This isn't me, this is God." And God gets the glory. He's about to show you what He's about to do. And I believe that the Lord was with Joseph. The hand of the Lord was on Joseph because Joseph glorified God. Number 3, same chapter 41, look at verse number 51. Look at verse 50. "And Joseph, and unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." I believe, number 3, that Joseph walked with God. The pain that he bore as a 17-year-old young person when his brothers turned on him and sold him into slavery was very real pain. And I think a walk with God, he says, "God made me to forget my toil." I think it was a process of communicating with God and turning that situation over to the Lord. And God is the one that has made me fruitful. God is the one that has blessed me here in Egypt. He walked with the Lord. What a privilege we have to walk with the Lord. He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. But you ask the average Christian, "Hey, did you spend time in God's Word this week?" "Not like I should." Which means, not really at all in most cases. That's how I follow that question up. I used to think, "Oh, they missed a couple days." As I got older and got in the ministry longer, I realized. And I would say, if I asked you if you spent time with the Lord this week and you say, "Not like I should," the next question I'm going to ask you is, "So you didn't really read it at all this week?" And 9 out of 10 people will say, "Yeah, you're right." Of course, I worked with teenagers, and so they were just brutally honest, and they just lay it all out there. What a privilege we have to walk with the Lord. We need God's hand on our lives, don't we? We need His hand. We've got to walk with Him. And then turn to Genesis 45, and I want you to see lastly, I believe the hand of God was on Joseph because Joseph believed God. You know these verses. Genesis 45, revealing to his brothers here, he says in verse number 5, "Now therefore be not angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Verse 7, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. It was not you that sent me hither, but God." You see, he believed God. He believed that God had sent him, that God had done that work. Look at chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. And again, you're familiar with these verses as well. Genesis 50, verse 19. They're afraid. The father dies. They're afraid Joseph is going to get revenge. And Joseph said unto them, verse 19, "Fear not, for am I in this place of God, or the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph believed God. I believe it. And again, we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe that God gave Joseph that dream as a young person. And I believe that he held on to that dream and he believed God until God brought it to fruition. And he says to his brothers there, "You didn't do this. God brought me here." Just because we face challenges in life doesn't mean we can't know the hand of the Lord on our lives. You see, Joseph faced a lot of challenges, circumstances and mistreatment, and you know it all. But God says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. You know, Old Testament, they weren't indwelt with the Spirit like we are in New Testament. And the idea really is the hand of God was upon Joseph in the midst of his hardship. And do you know what? The hand of God can be on our lives in the midst of what we face. God can bless wherever, whatever, whenever, and whoever, if we'll let Him. He wants to do exceeding great and mighty things for each of us. You see, yeah, but I don't have the talents of someone else. That don't matter. But I'm not young like I used to be. That don't matter. But I have these physical limitations. It doesn't matter. God is able to take all of us where we are and use us in a great way to make a difference, to bring Him glory. What a great God. Lord, we love You.